Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Srila Prabhupada presented the essence of the Vedic wisdom through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, principally through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Prabhupada. Mention the Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the advanced study. And finally, of course, is Chaitanya Charitamrita. But principally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented his teachings to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad. Both are actually the essence of the Gita. Bhagavad Gita has been presented as the essence of all the Upanishads, because Bhagavad Gita is an Bhagavad Gita falls in the category of Upanishad. What is the definition of Upanishad? The definition of Upanishad is the wisdom, knowledge that is received sitting at the feet or near to the Guru, the self-realized soul, the teacher. Upanishad. Sitting near, that means the knowledge that is received from the teacher, spiritual master, is Upanishad. Now, of all the Upanishads, now why Bhagavad Gita is an Upanishad? Because who is receiving the knowledge? Arjuna. Where, from whom? From Krishna, the original spiritual master. Adi Guru. The original spiritual master is Krishna. So, this way we can see that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. And it has been presented very nicely in the Gita Mahatmya. It says, Sarva Upanishado Gaho Dogdha Gopala Nandana Vatsa Partha Sudhi Gopala Dogdha Gita Mahatmya. Sarva Upanishado Gaho. All the Upanishads have been compared to Gaho. And Dogdha Gopala Nandana, the cowherd boy, Krishna, Gopala Nandana, has built that. And Vatsa Partha, the cow gives the milk for the sake of the calf. So for whose sake Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita? The Partha. But although the cow gives the milk for the calf, but the calf doesn't drink all the milk. Who drinks the milk? The human being. And this particular milk, who drinks? Sudhi. Su means beautiful or advanced. And dhi means intelligence. If the individuals with advanced intelligence drink this milk, okay. So this way we can see that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. And what is the basic understanding, teaching, or what is the principal teaching of Bhagavad Gita? Vedas have three sections. Vedas have three khandas. Khandas means main branches. Those three main branches are Karma Kanda, then Jnana Kanda, and then Bhakti. Karma Kanda section is giving us the understanding how to enjoy. Initially, everybody wants to enjoy. So Vedas are not saying don't enjoy. But Vedas are saying, enjoy in the right way. Like for example, if somebody tries to enjoy in a wrong way, does he enjoy or he ends up suffering? Like somebody thinks that, oh, I want to enjoy and I need money, so he robs a bank. He gets the money and maybe for the time being he may have some fun. But then what happens? He'll be arrested, put into the prison. But the right way of enjoying is, okay, you need money, qualify yourself, earn your money. And how to qualify yourself? The Vedas are giving the direction. And mind you, in that respect, Vedas have been compared to a kalpataru, desire tree. Nigama kalpataru. Now, what is the specific characteristic of a kalpataru, desire tree? You can ask anything and the tree will hear. There is a true light. And Vedas are like that. Vedas are. You can approach the Vedas with any desire. And Vedas can fulfill that. Therefore, the Vedas have been compared to the desire. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Jai Shri Jai Shri 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 Jai Ram Shri Hanuman Jai Jai Shri 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 Jai Ram. So that is the way the Vedas are fulfilling the Vedas. In any desire, Vedas can cover. You want to be very rich, Vedas gives you the direction. Okay, do this activity. You want to become a king, perform such sacrifice. You want to become the king of the entire earth planet. Okay, you can fulfill your desire to become the king of the earth. Still you are not satisfied. You want to become the king of the heavenly planet. That facility also, the will perform so many sites or sacrifices. So this is how the Vedas are giving direction how to enjoy, how to fulfill the desire. Because enjoyment or happiness is fulfillment of desire. You want something and if you get it, how do you fulfill it? But in spite of all your enjoyment, ultimately what do you want? Ultimate realization is, I want to enjoy, but still suffering comes. I want to enjoy, I don't want suffering, but suffering comes. And not only that, eventually what you realize, that it is full of suffering. Only for the time being, you are avoiding a suffering condition. You know what's the definition of happiness? Definition of happiness is temporary cessation of suffering condition. When the suffering condition is ceased for the time being, then it is called happiness. But for how long does the happiness last? It goes away, suffering. So, when one realizes that I don't want to suffer. I only want enjoyment, but still I'm suffering. Wherever I go, there is suffering. Even in heavenly planets, there is suffering. So then, why am I suffering? See, this question, why, leads to Gyanika. Why? And what, so this actually is leading, the Vedas have been analyzed these through six branches of philosophy called Shat Darshan. Shat means six, Darshan means philosophy. So the first aspect, Karmakanda section of the Vedas, have been analyzed through a branch of philosophy Karma-mimamsa or Purva-mimamsa, which means preliminary conclusion. What's the preliminary conclusion? The preliminary conclusion is karmic action-reaction concept. Karma. What is the principle of karma? The principle of karma is, as you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you will get that. As you sow, so shall you reap. Nothing is happening by chance or accident. Everything has some reason behind. Accident and by chance, what does it mean? Only when we do not know the cause we call it accident. But everything has a cause behind it. Nothing happens without it. So and that is the consideration. So right action will lead you to enjoyment and wrong action leads you to suffering. So now you want to enjoy, okay. Act in a proper way. But so that is the preliminary concept. If you want to enjoy, you have to act in a right manner. But then, as I said, then they come to the consideration that I do not want to suffer, but why am I suffering? So then that leads to the next branch. Of Gyanakanda, the Gyanakanda actually is covered by four branches of philosophy. They are Naya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, and Yoga. Naya is logic. So logic they are considering. What's the cause of suffering? And you know what's the conclusion? This is the place of suffering. So what can you get besides suffering in a place of suffering? And this body is a wonderful instrument to receive pain. So you are in a place of suffering with a body which is meant to receive pain. What can you expect? Does it sound unpleasant that this body is the suffering? This machine, this instrument for receiving? Okay, consider, take any part of your body. Take, no matter how insignificant that part may be, say your little finger. Consider in how many different ways you can inflict pain. Now you consider in how many ways you can give pleasure to your little friend. Do you want to compare? And that principle actually applies to every single part of the world. So then they consider what then is this material nature? Why? What is it? Where are we? And that leads to the Vaisheshika, which actually ultimately comes to the conclusion of atomic theory. This whole creation is a combination of the minutest particles called Paramanu. The English translation for Paramanu is atom. But the Vedic concept of Paramanu is not quite like atom. It's much more subtle. Anyway, so what we have seeing this perceivable world is not actually the way it appears to be. It's only different atoms in different velocity and way it is given different information. Just consider, a simple consideration will be, if you analyze this wall, what is this wall? The wall is a combination of, say, you go into land, bricks and cement and sand. Then you go further. What are the bricks? What are the cement? What are the... Ultimately, you come to the minutest particle. Like, actually, they are not what they appear to be now. Anyway, then it leads to the next branch of philosophy called Sankhya or analytical. Okay, let's analyze. And this analytical study comprises of, there are five elements. Panchamaha, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Then there are five senses. Our eyes, ears, nose, tongue. Now these senses interact with the elements and different objects of the senses are generated. Like ear interacts with ether, sound is produced. Skin interacts with air, touch is produced. Eyes interact with fire, form is produced. Tongue interacts with water, taste is produced. Nose interacts with earth, smell. So in this way, there are five objects of the senses. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And then they consider that there are five working senses with which we become active. Those five working senses are hands, speech, belly, anus, and genitals. So 5 fours are 20. Then they consider beyond that there are three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, and then finally the sum total of the material elements or mahata. 24 consideration, the whole of material nature has been. But they didn't stop at that. Then they consider that all these 24 considerations are objective in nature. But the objects cannot exist without the subject. So who is the subject? I am, therefore, yes. And yes, that I will be found in all, the whole material nature has been analyzed with this 24 consideration, but still the I couldn't be found there. Therefore, I is beyond matter. Hence, I is spiritual. So that I is. That I, it's a 25th consideration, is the soul. The souls are minute and many, therefore, it must have a source. So the source is the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality. So then the consideration is, then it takes to the next stage. What is the relationship to the part with the whole? How the part can become connected to the whole? Because the part's existence lies in its connection to the whole. If the part is separated from the whole, then its existence doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any purpose. Like this little finger is a part of my body. When this little finger is separated from the body, this doesn't have any purpose. We throw it. But as long as it's connected to the body, it's so valuable. So the purpose of the existence of the soul is in the, lies in its connection to the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Personality. So how to establish that connection? That leads to the next branch of philosophy called Yoga. Yoga literally means link, connection. So how to connect to the world? And that has 8 different stages. Therefore, it is called Ashtanga Yoga. Those 8 different stages are Jam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, and Dhyanam, and Samadhi. Pranayam, Pratyahar, and Dhyanam, and Samadhi. So, Jam, external purification. The body is made of what we eat. Therefore, our eating habit should be purified. Because the body is, body is product of what we eat. Then the internal purification. Mind purification, it's a good word, the purification actually of the subtle body. The way we think, the way we act has its effect in the mind. Therefore, our thinking has to be modified. That's the kind of problem. Then, asana, this body is a vehicle to reach its ultimate goal. Therefore, this has to be utilized properly. Therefore, we have to situate ourselves properly within the body, asana, seat. Then comes pranayama, controlling of the breathing. Controlling of the breathing, this pranayama is actually leading one to practically stop breathing. How many processes, how many different functions the breathing has?
Three.
Okay, very good. I thought you would say two. Generally people think inhaling and exhaling. But the pranayama is pointing out holding it. Rechaka, puraka, and kumha. Holding. And then, when one has been able to control his breathing through his pranayama, then he is able to pratyahar, withdraw his senses from the objects of consciousness. Otherwise, the senses are dragging the consciousness towards the external world. So, to stop that. And we have to, in order to project the consciousness internally, we have to prevent it from its external projection. So pratyahara, then only comes and meditation, the sixth stage. And nowadays what goes on in the name of yoga and meditation is not yoga meditation, they're tamasha. They're a joke. Some unscrupulous individual are taking advantage of the ignorance of the people. The real purpose of yoga is to project the consciousness inwardly onto the super soul who is situated in our hearts. Then comes dharana. When the projection has become fixed, and then comes the final stage when one perceives the Lord in the heart, that is the samadhi. So at that stage, when one sees the Lord in the heart, then his head automatically bends down in respect, in surrender. So this is how, through this Gyanatana section, one is coming to the point of surrender. That takes to the final branch of the Vedic philosophy, which is called Uttar Mimamsa, final conclusion. Another name of that is Vedanta, the ultimate aspect of the Vedanta. Now you see where Bhagavad Gita is taking us. Sarva dharma parityajya mam ekam sharanam. And Bhagavad Gita is ending there. Mam ekam sharanam. Sorry. But then we are approaching, or rather Prabhupada is taking us to Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, the final instruction is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. And the initial, the first instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam is Dharma Rajita Vaitavatra. Bhagavad Gita says Sarva Dharman Parityajya, and here the Srimad Bhagavatam is beginning. Dharma prajjita kaidavata. Paramanirman sarana. Deno nivedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapraksa. So this is how we can see where Bhagavad Gita ends. Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us pure devotional service, access to pure devotional service. And that is the ultimate goal. Therefore, time and time again, Prabhupada says that when one receives devotion to the Lord, it has to be understood that he has gone through it, all the other processes. He has achieved the perfection of devotion. Why? Because this is the final approach, the final destination, the final achievement, ultimate goal. So why I am presenting this, why I am mentioning this? Simply to remind that please become aware of what you have received. It's the highest spiritual. You know, had we been born in any other time, what we had to do? We had to gradually go through all these. Just like, again, it's another example that Prabhupada gave, that you go through primary school, secondary school, high school, college, university. And then you do your graduation, you do your master's, then you get your PhD. To get PhD, you have to go through the entire process, graduate. But sometimes PhD is awarded to someone. That's a very special case. Now, bhakti, if we came in some other time, other than this time, then if we wanted bhakti, we have to gradually go through all that. That's why bhakti is sudurlabha. Bhakti has six symptoms. One of the symptoms is sudurlabha, extremely rare. Bhakti is extremely rare. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, bhakti has become sulabha. Not durlabha, but sulabha. We got it. Simply due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, simply due to Prabhupada's causeless mercy. Now that we got it, what are we going to do? The consideration is, don't take it lightly. Because you have got it so easily, the tendency may be there to take it lightly, not really recognize the master. But it's very important that we recognize the value and take full advantage of it. Krishna gave it to us so mercifully. Now that you got it, please protect it, cultivate it, and you will see what a wonderful benefit you get out of that. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Thank you very much for explaining this. The question I have is the six steps which you explained, the six steps of different philosophy. From Bhagavad Gita perspective, all six are explained, or only the last three, like Vedanta, Yoga, and Mimamsa?
No, in a way, all six have been explained. But Krishna has done this very simply, like Sankha, the 24 consideration, that, and then coming to 25th and 26th. Look how Krishna explained that. Bhumi Apo Anula Vayu Kam Mano Bhutti Devacha Ahankara Ityamme Vijna Prakriti Rashtra. There it has been done in 24, sometimes in 11th canto it has been pointed out that Sankha has given 29 consideration. Anyway, but Krishna is doing it, 8 elements with which this material nature is composed. Vinna Prakriti, Ashtadham. The separated energy of mind, separated Prakriti, is composed of this part, or 8. But then he is pointing out, Aparyamita Skandham, this is inferior. But Prakriti Vidhi Me Param, there is a superior nature of life. And Jiva Bhutan Mahabhaku Jagiram Khadya. The living entities are sustaining this material. Prabhupada used the word exploiting this material nature. So see, like how Krishna is presenting that understanding. And then, like as we concluded through the Naya, Dukkhalayam Ashaksham. Just one word. Like, see, that is the benefit of receiving the knowledge from somebody who has it. He can give it in a very simple way. Krishna is giving such a simple way. But he is actually ultimately taking to the point of surrender, which is the ultimate. But then the consideration is, what is after one surrender? You see, surrender is cessation of material activity, but the beginning of spiritual activity. When you surrender, then what? Then your devotion will begin. We are active in this world, but this activity is for sense gratification. But that world, the activity is rendering service. Exploitation, servant. Being a master, being a servant. Material, spiritual. Very simple consideration. Yes.
Yes, I think you repeat one section where you were describing how one darshan led to the next. Right. So when I came to the fifth one, the yoga, with and so okay, I think how did you introduce the super soul into that?
That was Sankara. That was before that.
Right.
That was okay. That spirit soul, the minute and minute. Right?
Yes.
You have a soul, you have a soul, but you have all these souls are mine, and they are many. So they must have an origin source. And that source is the supreme soul from whom all the souls have come. Mm-hmm.
So before there are, because the spirit souls are minute, somehow logically that implies that they must have a source.
The ultimate consideration, you see, the knowledge, the real knowledge comes from above. When you try to kind of analyze ourselves, it's very difficult to figure out. Yes,
could you explain the difference between
You see, mind is the element, you can say, it's an element, material element, sati, through which the consciousness is projected to the material direction. Right? Intelligence is what is giving us the ability to decide how we are going to enjoy. And false ego is our mistaken identity. Actually, it will be better to understand if you look at it from the other direction. See, when a living entity looks away from Krishna, Krishna bohirmukh hoya bhagavan shakar. Bohirmukh. Mukh means face. When the face is turned away from Krishna, then what do we see? We see Krishna's external nature. Right? There's only two sides. Krishna's internal potency, Krishna's external potency. When you're looking towards Krishna, looking at Krishna, we are in Krishna's internal potency. When you look away from Krishna, we are looking at Krishna's external potency, which is inferior. Now the jivas, living entities, are coming from Krishna's superior energy. Right? Therefore, this material nature is inferior to him. So when a superior comes across an inferior, what is his natural tendency? The natural tendency is to exploit, to lord over. See, this is how his identity is being transformed from the servant to the master. It's a natural thing, it's unavoidable. And that is what is giving him the first covering of false ego. False ego is a matter, is a material element. It's covering the soul. Then he considers how to enjoy this material nature. He decided that he is the enjoyer, and now how he is going to enjoy, he gives the second covering of intelligence. And then his consciousness constantly flows towards the material reaction through the medium of mind. The third element. So mind is the kind of medium through which the consciousness is constantly flowing towards the material direction. Okay. Therefore, to convert our consciousness, we have to start working in the mind. One mana bhava. With your mind, think of Krishna. When you are thinking of Krishna with your mind, then is the consciousness projecting towards the external world? No. It is then projected towards the spiritual reality. And then in this way, when the mind is becoming constantly engaged in thinking of Krishna, because mind's business is to think, then teshaṁ satata yuktānāṁ vajatāṁ kṛti purvakam dadāmi buddhi yogam tam. See, next, now it's coming to buddhi. The buddhi is now transformed. From intelligence, now it has become buddhi yoga, spiritual. And in this way, when it becomes engaged in serving Krishna, jivair sarup hoy, Krishna and Nikola. So where is the false ego? False ego is also. So in this way, iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa dhira nikhilashyati avasthasu jiva mukta svamichati. At that stage, he is jiva mukta, liberated. Although he is residing, dwelling in his body, The soul is in the body, but no subtle body. Pure spirit soul in this apparently gross body. And that stage is called Jivan Mukta stage or Swarup Siddhi stage. Perfection of one's spiritual identity. Thank you. Yes.
One more question is this. I mean, from your explanation, it looks like the yoga leads to Vedanta, right? So the word Vedanta here, is it like a more of a generic term, or does it refer to Vedanta Sutra, which
Vedanta, as Prabhupada pointed out time and time again, Vedanta means bhakti. Because you see, Vedanta, because Shankaracharya given such a version of Vedanta through his Kevaladvita, is total distortion of Vedanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita actually is saying that Bash Bhranta Boliteho Uthailo Vibhad. He created, Shankaracharya raised the Vibhad means conflict, saying that Vajra was wrong. And he's pointed out Vasudev is talking about Parinambad, Brahma Parinambad. Parinambad means, Parinam means transformation. Brahman has been transformed into this jagat. Just as milk turns into yogurt, Brahman has transformed into this jagat. Brahma, theory of transformation. But Shankaracharya came and presented a new theory called Vivartavad, the theory of illusion. See the difference? One is the theory of transformation. Brahma is real, jagat is also real. Milk is real, yogurt is also real. But illusion is unreal. For example, Shankaracharya is giving an example that just as one mistakes a mirage to be water, this is the illusion. Mirage is mistaken to be water. Mirage is not water, it's hot sand, but it's appearing to be like water. Just as somebody mistakes a rope to be a snake, it's a rope. But in semi-darkness, mistakes are to be unseen. So, by giving this kind of example, Shankaracharya established a theory of illusion. That's why it's called Mayavada. But the original name is Vivartavada. Or Kevalatvaitavada. Anyway, now see how wonderfully Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya. Ramanujacharya pointed out, fine, there is no water in the mirage. It's a mistake to think that the mirage is water. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why you're mistaking the mirage to be water. Fine, there is no snake in the rope. But somewhere the rope is, the snake is existing, that's why you're mistaking the rope to be water. So, the point is, Shankaracharya's theory was so widely spread its influence that, when they think of Vedanta, they think in the line of Shankaracharya. But the actual Vedanta is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudev himself is giving a commentary on the Vedanta, and that is the real Vedanta. And what is that? Devotion to the Supreme Personality. That is the Vedanta. As we pointed out, after Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, where you're coming? Surrender to the Lord. That is the real end of the Veda. Vedanta Krit, Vedaishya Sarve, Ahameva Vedya. So Krishna himself is declaring that Ahameva Vedya. So what is the conclusion of the Veda? Krishna.
We just said a moment ago that either our face is turned toward Krishna or away from him. You know, it's like not in between. So when it comes to this mixed devotional service, I think that means you do some devotional service, but you have some selfish desires to get commitment. So that term seems to imply that, you know, there is some in between.
Not in between. Like your face is still towards the material direction, but you got the information about the spiritual world. And you're practicing to turn your face. That is mixed emotional service. And when your face is completely turned, it's pure emotional service. Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Thakur.
So many times you run into a situation where you feel like you should remember something and you don't remember it. Can you give some tips on improving your memory and things like that?
Bad memory. You see, the information that there, I mean, you can look at it in the light of a computer, actually. You know, it's very similar to, you know, actually computer is a replication of human mind and intellect, where the memories is where the information is stored. And programming is what connects all those information. So that's what intelligence does. Memory is there in the store, is stored in the mind. And intelligence is making the link. More intelligent one is, more quickly one can establish those links. Okay?
How do you improve your intelligence?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Hey, wow.
Yes, serious about it. Like, what is the Cheto Darpana Marga? You know? The mirror of our mind is going to. Just by chanting our memory, you will increase. Yes, okay. Read Prabhupada's books and discuss with the devotees. That's the best way. Mm-hmm. Read it and consult and discuss. Then the faith will become stronger. The mind will become fixed. Mm-hmm. That's why reading is so important. Association of devotees is so important. And association of devotees means satam prasanga mama bijasam. Association of devotee means just discuss about Krishna. Nothing else. Not where the next party is going to be.
Maharaj, we can talk about Brahmananda Prabhu.
Okay, very good. Brahmananda Prabhu has left his body. Brahmananda Prabhu was one of the first disciples of Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to New York and started his setup in 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada used to give Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening. And one day, Brahmananda Prabhu, his name was Bruce. So he was passing by and he saw this course on Bhagavad Gita by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So he wanted to meet Swami. He was actually at that time thinking of going to India. So he, those days, meeting Srila Prabhupada was quite easy. Practically anybody could meet, approach Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was eager to meet young Americans. So Brahmananda Prabhu came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And when he saw that Prabhupada was giving classes in Bhagavad Gita, so to impress upon Srila Prabhupada, Brahmananda Prabhu mentioned that, "Swamiji, I also read Bhagavad Gita." And he pulled out a Bhagavad Gita from his bag or from his pocket, showed it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good. So, you read it?" "Yes." "So open any page." So he opened the page. Prabhupada said, "Read it." So, he read it. Then Prabhupada said, "Close the book. Close the book. Tell me what you understood." And he realized, to his great dismay, that he didn't understand anything. And that was the beginning. He surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. He was a school teacher at the time. And he was so dedicated that whatever money he used to get, he used to come and give it to Srila Prabhupada. My first meeting with Brahmananda Prabhu was when Prabhupada was in Mayapur in 1976. Brahmananda Prabhu was Prabhupada's secretary. And I used to go to Srila Prabhupada. I had an easy access to Srila Prabhupada because during our first meeting, Prabhupada asked me to translate his books into Bengali. And those days, Prabhupada had more than 10,000 followers. And I can tell you, like, each one of them was dying to give 5 minutes association. It was very difficult, actually, to approach Srila Prabhupada. I myself have experienced it before that, anyway. But when I finally met Srila Prabhupada and the good fortune of receiving that instruction from Srila Prabhupada, he wanted me to translate his books into Bengali. And that gave me an easy access to Srila Prabhupada. Right. My excuse was, I have to show this to Srila Prabhupada. Then, of course, Prabhupada gave me a stack of his Bengali letters. And he asked me to reply all. And when I answered all those letters, Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters and asked me to reply. And then Prabhupada made me his secretary for Indian affairs. And so anyway, so I was, I had access to Srila Prabhupada and Brahmananda. He was a sannyasi actually. Brahmananda Maharaj. He was Prabhupada's secretary. 3 days before the Gaur Purnima festival, he told me that Prabhupada decided to give me first and second initiation to him. So I was very happy to hear that. In a way, I was quite shocked also because I knew that to get second initiation, one had to wait for a considerable amount of time. And then he actually commented, "Boy, you're fortunate." He told that he did not remember giving anyone first. And then I asked him, "So what should I do to prepare for initiation?" And his reply was, "Just get shaved and get ready to receive the mercy." We had a lot of wonderful time together. He had a big body. He was very big. But he had the heart of a child. He was so soft and tender and so kind. I can still feel his embrace. Often he'll just embrace me and express his love. And he had done so much for Srila Prabhupada. Right? He was whatever Srila Prabhupada wanted, he was ready to do. And Prabhupada also had so much affection for him. Anyway, I'm sure the amount of service that she's rendered to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada must have taken care of him very wonderfully. Left his body in Vrindavan, that's another thing. Like, he was, his condition became quite critical. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj sent a doctor from Delhi, and he was he decided that he should be taken to a hospital in Delhi. In India, the Apollo Hospital was the best, so he decided to take him to Apollo Hospital. And when they were about to take him, left his body. So fortunate that he left his body. That's another wonderful instruction in that, another lesson in that. Don't waste your time in the hospital. Just stay in the holy town and leave your body and go back to God. Just by leaving your body in Vrindavan, you will go back to God. That's why you find so many old people are there. They're just waiting to give up their body. So that shows, like, how wonderful he received Prabhupada's mercy. He didn't want to go, but there's another thing that Prabhupada told us in more than one occasion, that if he became unconscious, we should never take him to a hospital. Never let him to take him to a hospital. That was Prabhupada's very clear instruction. Of course, Prabhupada was conscious to the end. Fully conscious. Chanting. So these are the lessons that we should actually learn. Why go to a hospital and prolong your suffering condition? That's what one doctor disciple of mine told me. That what the medical science is doing today is extending one's suffering condition. You'll be better off leaving the body, but they will just hang on, with this in the body, that in the body, just to keep the soul in the body and not let it go. Another thing Prabhupada told us, that nothing should pierce his body. No needle, nothing should pierce. And we stuck to that, those instructions. You can let anything, any injection or anything. And yesterday I was talking to Aparajita Radhika, who is a doctor herself, a brain surgeon. Like, she was telling me that as soon as you go to the hospital, all they do is, the first thing they do is just stick a needle in your, so that they can put whatever they want to the permanent needle. And then all kinds of things, cut the body, open the body. Krishna consciousness is the art of dying. That's what we learn, how to die. And if we know how to die, then we'll achieve immortality. Just you know how to die and you'll never come back. If you know how to live, you'll never have to come back. Thank you.